We've been in this series for quite some time. I know when I'm in and out traveling and things, it's hard to keep track, but we are getting close to the end of the book of Daniel. I know at least next Sunday we'll be in Daniel. I don't know if I'll be able to wrap it up next Sunday, or I'll need to go a little bit into July, but we're getting close to the end of Daniel. Two Sundays from now, don't forget, keep it in your mind, it's Youth Sunday. Our teens are going to be doing all the worship band, and two of our young men are going to be preaching. Short messages, don't worry. Two messages. It'll be a great day. So we encourage you to come and encourage those young people as they're doing this, not only for us as a church, but for their growth, which is exciting to see. So happy Father's Day to all you dads. Hope you've been... Yeah, thank you. I've been taken care of. I had brats yesterday. Everything's good. Got to see all of my kids. So life is good. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you men have a great day today and are taken well care of. Phil talked about our clapping. We got to work on that. We bought a tambourine now, and Jimmy was hitting on it. Did you hear the tambourine sound? Just helping you get that rhythm down. We're working on that. Keep practicing. I just know, you know when something's off, it's really bad. Let me give you three illustrations. My wife and I canoed together once. You know, that's why kayaking got invented, so that you can be in different vessels and not have to be in the same one, right? Not only did we canoe together, but we've also done the dual bike. Have you done that? Mackinac Island, you know, you fudgies, we go up there and we rent the bike. We thought, well, this will be fun. It's death-defying. If you're not on the same page, it can be really scary. So we've survived that. And then the last one, I'll just say, it's a miracle we're still married. Wallpaper. Remember back in the 80s and 90s when we used to do wallpaper? And the big controversy is, do you butt them up or do you overlap? I mean, oh man, I didn't know there was such controversy over wallpaper until we did it as a couple. And we've survived. That's what makes you stronger. So hopefully you'll learn those things. But it's like clapping. Hopefully we're all on the same page, right? It's like canoeing together, biking together, wallpapering together. You got to be together. So maybe we should keep working at it. You know, as a great family of Oakwood, work on our rhythm abilities and clap together. And some of you might not be comfortable doing that. And so we would normally say, that's fine. You don't have to, but I'm not going to do it. Practice. Get better at it. You only get better with practice. So get over feeling awkward and just enjoy clapping with the rhythm. You're all in the band. I told our worship team leaders a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know what? We ought to remind them that they're all in the band. We got to keep that in front of you. I told them, make them pull out their keys. We're going to do that one Sunday. Everybody pulls out their keys and you shake them on rhythm. I know. We better do some clapping for a couple weeks first. I don't want anybody to get totally thrown off, but we'll work toward that. Well, we're in chapter 6 today, chapter 6 of Daniel. We'll pray in just a second. Let me just walk us through where we've been to make sure we're all on the same page. Things are flying all over the place here. The winds of change. We talked about that at the beginning of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 is a key passage for understanding today's passage, by the way. In Daniel chapter 1, we find that these four Hebrew boys, Daniel, Hananiah, Ezra, and Mishael, that were taken from their homeland, taken captive into the foreign land, Babylon, where it's godless. They worship many gods, false gods. And here they are, the winds of change. They were living in a nation together where they were all on the same page spiritually. Spiritually and socially, and now all of a sudden they're in Babylon and everything's changed. So the key is to be brave, stand firm, know that God is sovereign, trust the God of Daniel. The key word there was resolved. Daniel, Hananiah, Ezra, and Mishael were resolved not to cross God's line. We talked about that then the next week. Cooperation without compromise. Know God's line, resolve to never cross it, stand firm. So don't forget, these boys were young, 16, 17 year old, when they were taken from their homeland. Last week, we saw Daniel was sitting about 60 years old. This week, he's 80. I know, time flies, right? But he's getting older now, and now Daniel's 80 years old. I want to tell you this right from the beginning, before we finish the introduction. We do not get Daniel in the lion's den in chapter 6 if we don't have 17-year-old Daniel resolving not to cross God's line. We don't get Daniel in the lion's den, one of the favorite stories for most people, unless Daniel as a young man had resolved to follow God. And so it's crucial that we understand that this is a good thing for us to look at. how they lived their lives out. Keep your confidence. Know the God of Daniel, and you can live with God-sized confidence. Again, I'm telling you, we're not saying dare to be a Daniel. We're not telling you that. We're telling you, know the God that Daniel knew, and you can do the things that Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael did with God-sized confidence. Then we talked about obedience despite the consequence, the fiery furnace. We know that they went in there. Who will you bow down to? Remember, I told you when we did that message, we all bow down to something or someone. Who are you bowing down to? And God has already saved me from the fiery of furnaces, hell. He can handle the rest. You can have confidence that God will see you through, right? And then speak out. That was one of my favorite messages, the testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar. Because God is good. We should tell others about what happened to us. What changed you? Remember, 1 Peter tells us, always be prepared to give an answer for those who ask you for the hope that you have. Who's asking you? Hopefully you're living a life in such a way that people will say, what's different about you? Have you ever been at work and somebody asks, what's different about you? Well, they know, and they'll come and they'll say, would you pray for me? Because they know that you have a connection with God. I hope that's what's happening for you. King Neb, he gave his testimony about his change in life. Then humility. See through the glitter and the glitz to the handwriting on the wall. Last week we talked about King, remember it was Belshazzar, and he was throwing his big party, and then he had the writing on the wall. He saw the finger appear and write many tekel parson, and he didn't know what that meant, so he's knocking at the knees, finds Daniel, gets Daniel to come in, offers Daniel gold and clothes, and Daniel's like, I don't want your stuff. 60-year-old Daniel doesn't care about the glitz and the glitter that this world has to offer. He said, keep it. And then he told them the truth. The handwriting was on the wall. That brings us to today where we talk about consistency. Daniel 6. I'll meet you there in a moment. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me? I'd ask that you'd pray this prayer. You don't have to say anything out loud, but if you'd be willing to, just say, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give God that prayer. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, I pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read Daniel 6, 1 through 28 today. Make sure you stick with me. No falling asleep. No dreaming about what's going on the grill here pretty soon. It'll happen when it happens. But we're going to read through the whole context. I like hearing the whole context of the biblical story, the narrative, and then we'll make some comments on that. Consistency. That's the theme. Serve well, stand firm. We're going to find out today that at 80 years of age, Daniel is known as a consistent man, consistent, never wavered, stood firm when he needed to stand firm. You don't see Daniel protesting the government. You don't see Daniel throwing a fit. You don't see Daniel trying to rig elections. He is living in a world that is contrary to his beliefs, but he's doing so in a way where he has influence. And I've been encouraging us as a church, take close attention that we can live in this world without leaving this world behind. We're in this world, but not of this world. We're aliens and strangers. How does that play out? I think the book of Daniel is marvelous for teaching us how to stay strong in our faith, not cave in, not bow down, but to do so in a way that you're honored, respected, and admired. Now, you're going to find out that you're also going to run into those ornery people. Anybody here know any ornery people? Yeah. Oh, you do, huh? All right. Ornery people always find something. They're going to complain. They're going to make a mess. They're going to just pitch a fit. And jealousy is part of our story today. By the way, I mean, some of y'all, you know, downloading all these books on the internet and think, why don't you read the Bible? There's some great intrigue. We got jealousy happening today, murder plotted, right? It's this intense stuff that happens in the Bible. It's a great book, and it's not a book of stories. Don't get me wrong. This is not a book of stories. This is his story. I believe these things physically actually took place. So let's read it. Daniel 6, we'll read the whole context. Daniel 6, 1 through 28. Darius is the new king. You remember, it was a pretty short-lived life for Belshazzar. Remember that? Throwing his party, and that night he died. And the Medes and the Persians took over. Well, here we got King Medes and Persians. He's now the new guy. Let's read it. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And that's awesome. Pause. Think about that. Again, Daniel was taken captive as a teen. He's never wavered. He didn't capitulate. He didn't compromise his faith. He stood strong, stood firm. And this, another king, we've got three kings so far. Hey, by the way, kings are coming and going. Guess who's still alive? Daniel. And they look to him. Belshazzar was short-lived, and he didn't really even know who Daniel was, but Mama did, and Mama said, you better find Daniel, right? And now we got a new king. And what do you find? Daniel. He wants to put Daniel in charge of everything. Why? Because when he's in charge, he doesn't suffer loss. What does that teach you? Daniel's a man of integrity. Consistency. You could count on Daniel. King Darius did. Let's continue. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Now, let's stop there. What a great testimony. Here's guys that want to do some harm to Daniel, and they're like, we'll just pony up some charges here. We'll get some false. Can't do it. He's so upright, they can't even fake anything. They're like, nah, none of this is going to stick. Sounds like our politicians today. If our world could only have some more Daniels, people that would do what's right at all times, even when no one's looking. Daniel is a man of integrity, and they cannot find anything to charge against him. Oh, I love that. God, help me to be a man that could never be charged. I mean, let's be honest. When you're driving and see a cop, does your heart stop? Mine does. Because I'm pretty sure I'm guilty. Nothing more embarrassing than slamming on your brakes when you're already going the speed limit. I'm like, oh, man. No, I'm just pretty sure I'm always bad, right? So I'm always hitting those brakes, you know? Oh, I want to be like Daniel would be driving along. He'd have the cruise set, and he'd see a police, and he'd wave because he'd had no worries. Oh, to be like Daniel in this case. So they couldn't find anything against him. He's not doing stuff wrong. The king trusts him with everything. But they decide, you know what? We can probably get him because he is not going to compromise. Let's get him on something with his God, because you know he's a man of integrity and he won't do anything again. So let's find something that we can trick him so that he's going to obey his God first. And we'll get Darius tricked here. And they do a good job of it. So they went to the king, verse 6. Oh, King Darius, may you live forever. They always say that. The royal administrators, perfect satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree, put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So the King Darius put the decree in writing. Oh, something's afoot. So they realized this Daniel guy, he is resolute. 80 years, he's been praying to his God regularly. And you know what? He's not going to stop that because he's consistent. So let's get the king to make an order. And all kings, they struggle with that P-R-I-D-E thing, remember? They're always thinking, and so they come and say, oh, king, may you live forever. Let's have it so nobody worships any god, just for a little bit, just for a short period of time. We're just you. You're king of the month, King Darius. And you can be god of the month too. No other gods, just King Darius. knowing that Daniel was going to pray to his God. King Darius says, this sounds like a good idea. You know, I just found out there's a grandparents' day too. Man, life is good. I got Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, Pastor Appreciation Month. I mean, I got them all covered. This is awesome. Darius feels the same way. He's like, bring it on. Let's do this whole King Darius month or whatever it is. Verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Are you guys highlighter people or writer people, underliner people, or just keep your Bible totally clean? If you're a writer or an underliner, please underline those six words. Just do it. Just as he had done before. Let's stop and talk about this. I think there's some misunderstanding there. Some people read this and thought, ooh, they made this rule and Daniel, he's going to stick it to the man. He went in and opened his windows and he's like, I'm praying, everybody. Can't tell me what to do. I'm going to pray to my God because I hate you. I mean, some people really think that he's like, he's sticking it to the man here. No, it's an upstairs room. People are like, the windows are open. It's an upstairs room. He's not opening his windows to say, look at me breaking the law. No, he's going and do what he always had done. Just as he had done before. He didn't change anything. Now, you need to understand that. I'm going to be very careful here, but I'm just going to step a little bit. Okay, just take, you know, your toes will heal. I'm not so sure we as Christians ought to be making a fuss about what we do. Again, I understand stories are stories and there's always many sides of stories. But again, we have stories about schools and coaches that get in trouble because they're told, no, you can't do a prayer at the 50-yard line. And they go and do it. And it's a big deal. And the news comes. They come before because they're going to defy the law. I'm just going to say, let your relationship with God be something that you do and not for show. And let's not just always try to be in rebel mode and always try to be in controversial mode and take down the government mode. I don't think Daniel was doing that here. I think every day since he got in Babylon, he went to his room, opened his windows that faced Jerusalem. Three times a day he prayed. And so he did what he had always done, nothing different. And I don't think he was doing it to say, Darius, I dare you. No, he just is like, they made a decree. It's a line that I cannot cross because it's God's line. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. God tells you. Come to him. And so Daniel's doing what God says to do, even though the government said not to do it. And that's a good thing to do. But let's not do it as a show. Let's not do it to cause controversy. I hear of churches that do things to get in the media. They put up billboards that say controversial thing. I'm like, no, you know, do we need to be? Let me just say this. When we as Christians have to act like the world that we despise, it's a bad thing. Don't be like them. Let's not be like them in any way. Let's not take up their tools of warfare. Let's be resolute. Let's be consistent. But let's be honorable and admirable too. I hope you can understand that. I don't want to step on any toes. I know you might have different political opinions. I'm just going to say, let your relationship with Christ be effective in your life. Don't hide it. But let's not flaunt it in a way that would be just controversy for controversial sake. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, I don't think Daniel was doing that here. The Bible makes it very clear. He did just as he did the day before, the week before, the month before, the year before, 18 years, 23. He's done this consistently. He's doing nothing that he hadn't always done. He didn't run out to the 50-yard line of the Colosseum to have prayer. He did what he always did. So let's pick it up from there. These men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asked God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, oh no. Daniel, who's one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put into writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed and was determined to rescue Daniel. He made every effort until sundown to save him. Again, let's go back to being a good person. That people, even lost people, say, I like this guy. I admire this woman. I think this person is top notch. The king spent all the way to sundown trying to figure a way around this thing they tricked him into, but it's been signed, sealed, and delivered. He's yours. So we move on to verse 14, 15. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law, the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issued can be changed. So the king gave the order. They brought Daniel and they threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Okay, pens, highlighters, back out. Underline those words. Whom you serve continually. Again, I want you to understand the idea of consistency today. Following God. Then he goes on from there. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of the nobles so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue from the lions? Do you know the rest of the story? That's always the bummer. I'm talking to a bunch of people who grew up near church, right? And you're like, we know what happens. Julie and I had an opportunity to take Pastor Ted and Jen to a comedy show in Grand Rapids Friday night. It was Nate Bargatze. I love Nate Bargatze. He's so funny. And Nate, he's clean. He's a clean comedian. But he talked about how he didn't do good in history growing up. So he says, I watch all these history movies and I'm just as surprised as they are. He said, I watched Pearl Harbor and I was riveted. Like, what's going to happen? You know, so if you don't know what's going to happen, this is your day. What's going to happen? He was in this lion's den all through the night. The stone was put in front of the... Do you get any glimpses of anything else when you read that? You do know how the Bible foreshadows things, right? And in this passage, Daniel is sent into a tomb and a stone was rolled in place to hold him there. And there was a lion in there. And lions are meant to devour. Not this one, he's cute and fuzzy. Lions are meant to devour, crush bones. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that there is a lion who's roaming. And he's seeking to devour you and me and anyone who believes in Christ. He's called Satan. The Bible says that Satan is a lion on the prowl, seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Just like when Jesus was put behind a rock. And that lion in that tomb was death. The lion of death had a grip on Jesus. And yet God overcame that situation. And we're going to see how God overcomes this situation. What's going to happen? The king just said, are you there? Did your God save you? Verse 21, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out of the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. What a great epic story. I mean, aren't you hoping there's a video room in heaven that we can go to and say, can I pull up the video footage of what happened in the den? Did Daniel really, you know, the kid's story, he's always leaning up against the, you know, he's taking a nap and he's sleeping on, I don't know. I don't know if he stood in his corner and the lion stood. I don't know if he was scared all night. We don't know. But all I know is that a whole night went by with Daniel and lions and nothing happened. Foreshadowing, the Bible says there's coming a time when Jesus comes back as king, and he's the Lion of Judah. And when that king takes over, the lions will lay down with the lambs, right? Our God can contain and control the mightiest of beasts. And again, people would look at the story and say, well, maybe those lions weren't hungry. Maybe those lions were, you know, they trained with PETA and they, you know, don't kill the people, you know. And I don't know what happened, but I do know that those lions were lions, like regular lions. And they eat people, right? Now, we know that to be true because the Bible knows that people are going to be stupid and do dumb things. So here's what happens next. After they get Daniel out, the king commanded the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their families. And before they'd reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Don't mess with the king. Play a trick on the king. The king was stuck, so the king had to do what they made him do. But as soon as it was done, he's like, all right, you pesky boogers. I'm going to put you in there. Don't worry. They must not be hungry. No, these lions were lions. As soon as they hit, they were toast. Oh, my goodness. Gone. And by the way, can I just say that? Nobody likes to see that kind of judgment. And that was a judgment there. The king judged those people, threw them in there. A lot of people look at this and say, look what God did. God saved Daniel, and then God killed those people. I want to remind you, the king ordered those people to be thrown. God didn't order that. This one's not on God. The king, in his anger at those men, threw the men in there and their families. Now, we don't like that. We shouldn't cheer for that. But that's what the king did. And again, these were some brutal people. They were killed. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus of Persia. What do we have today? We have an incredible stories of God. And by the way, we often make Daniel the hero of all these stories. But let me just remind you, in the meta-narrative of reading this, God is the hero of all these stories, right? Daniel knows God, and so he's obedient, consistent, does what's right. But God is the one. Daniel didn't shut the mouths of those lions. God did. God is the one who's sovereign. So I know we love our Davids and our Daniels, and it's good to have them, but understand that the hero in every story, biblical story, is God. He's the one, right? So, oops, back. Before we even get into the points, we're looking at the life of Daniel. The life of a disciple is a long obedience in the same direction. Does that describe you? Are you the kind of follower of Jesus that's growing consistently and walking by faith, steadfast, standing strong and firm? Are you like Daniel in this way? Three choices I must make. Write these things down in your notes today. Choose character over comfort. Man, Daniel's 80. My 80-year-old friend's in here today. You've probably gotten good at comfort, right? I mean, when you hit 80, you pretty much know stuff, right? You know, I have a special seat for my car. You know, I'm only in the 50s. I imagine people in the 80s have special seats everywhere they go, right? You got to take those. It's, you know, and you just get better at knowing. I'm sure Daniel would have preferred at 80 smooth sailing, but they tricked the king. And he didn't do anything different than he always did, but he probably was going to have to pay for it. There might be coming a time in America when that's true for you and for me. What are we going to do when that happens? When they outlaw something or they do something, they declare that pastors can't preach certain passages of the Bible. Is it possible there's coming a day when I'll be on this stage and the police will have to come in and put me in cuffs? I don't know. But if they do, we will, and they have to. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of God, and I'm going to take the consequences. That's called civil disobedience, and that is absolutely allowed under our law. But you have to be willing to pay the consequences. And Daniel was. He chose character over comfort. Comfort would be, well, shoot. It's just, you know, I can pray and they'll never even know it. I'll just, you know, just do it in my head with my eyes open. Pastor Spencer, my mentor for years, he was great. He talked to God constantly. And it would be weird. We'd be driving down the road. He'd be driving in the, you know, and he'd be like, hey, Don, how's Josh doing at school? I mean, he's doing pretty good. God be with Josh. Help him in his classes. I'm like, oh, we're praying now. Okay. And we'd pray. And then he's right in the middle of his prayer, you know, and I'm bowing my head and closing my eyes. And I'm looking to make sure he's watching. He's driving, you know. He's talking to God. We're praying. Okay. And he'd be like, God, help Josh to do good at school. Help him to pay attention and be good to his teachers. Where do you want to eat lunch? I'm like, amen. Oh, wait, what? Oh, you're talking to me. You're talking to me now. Okay. You know, and he would talk to me and talk to God, and it was in and out of a conversation. I'm like, I think this pastor understood pray continually. He just talked to God, talked to me, talked to people, tired of praying out loud. He was always in and out of a conversation with God. Daniel could have done something like that, but he decided, you know what? I'm just going to do as I've always done. And if that cost me even my life, I guess that's a line I cannot cross. I'm going to have to obey God. Character over comfort. Do the right thing, even when it's hard, even when no one is looking. Micah 6:8 tells us what the right thing is. He has told you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Are you doing that consistently? A long walk in the same direction, long obedience. Are you living that life? Daniel is an example of an old man who started when he was young. Some of you might ask, Pastor, you're getting older. Why do you always head off to those camps and talk to teens? I'll tell you why I go talk to teens. We need to teach our teens to know God and walk in a relationship with when they're young, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. We need to get our young people knowing the God of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. So why would I still do that in my mid-50s? Well, they'll still have me. I'll still go and talk because I want young people to know God. Because if we get them when they're young, and by the way, over 85% of Christians claim to be saved before the age of 18. So do we have just by knowing that, shouldn't we be targeting an age group and telling them about God? I think we should be. And I'm in on that. I'm all the way in. We should be doing that consistently. Daniel was a man of character over comfort. Second thing, choose discipline over disorder. I mean, you can see it here. It oozes off the pages that Daniel was a man who was disciplined. The Bible says, just like he had always done, or the God who you serve continually. It's spelled out that Daniel wasn't putting this on as a show. He lived this every day. It was discipline. And how do you get discipline? You do something over and over and over and over again, right? You do something. Muscle memory. I used to golf poorly, but now I really golf poorly. I used to golf consistently poorly. Now I barely golf poorly. But when I was golfing, because my back and I didn't have money to pay for it, now it's just, you know, it's hard to golf and all these things. And man, you know, when you're golfing two or three times a week, you get a swing groove. You know, it's muscle memory. That's what you have. You just muscle memory. The problem is I learned how to golf badly, so my memory was wrong. It was a bad thing. It's like my body needed to be told, no, wait, stop listening to him. My father-in-law was a PGA teaching pro, and so he would teach lessons, and God bless him. He would golf with me, and he would, you know, he's a good man that he didn't tell me what I was doing wrong. Until I would say, Joe, why am I hit? Let me tell you why. He was waiting the whole day. But he wasn't going to just throw it out there. He knew that would kind of ruin the relationship. So he'd wait, and I'd be like, oh, man. Why do I? Oh, okay, here. Let me tell you. There's just a couple of things. We just got to do 100 things to fix your swing. You know? Oh, and he'd work. He'd work so hard. I went golfing in February, and I went golfing last week. And so last week I was with him, and about the third hole, he's like, you know, can I just, you know, where are you aiming? And I'm like, I'm aiming right down there. I mean, you can see. Look where the ball is. Look where I am. Look where my club is. He goes, that's fine, but your feet are wrong. I'm like, no, they're not. And we put the club down, pointing across my toes. And I step back. And I was aiming over there, but my feet were aiming over there. He's like, your brain is confused. You're lining up your body one way, but you're telling them you want to hit it that way. And so your mind at the last minute's like, I don't know what to do. Let's just hit it so it goes everywhere, right? So he fixed my feet last week. I was thankful. But that's not going to fix it, because the next time I'll go golfing, I'm not going to know that. I don't have that muscle memory. I'm going to have to put the club down every time I get to the box and stand back. Am I doing this right? I got to figure this. But I got to do that over and over and over and over and over. And even then, I got to do it over and over and over. If I want good muscle memory to do the right thing, that means I need to do it often, do it every time. Practice, practice, practice. Another word for that would be discipline, discipline, discipline. I think Daniel knew from the time he was a young man in his teens, I'm in enemy territory. I'm going to discipline myself to do what's right. So now when he's 80, it's muscle memory. He's not putting it on. He's not faking it. He's chosen discipline over disorder. Just going to love you guys by telling you, if your life is a constant, long, straight line of chaos and disorder, take a look at your discipline. Are you living not, I love the word character. I think Daniel had character. Although some of you are characters, that's not good. We need to be less characters and more character. Does that make sense? I think Daniel was a man of character, consistency. Well, that required discipline. Be in God's word. Be on your knees. Be consistent. And if you're like, I've not been doing that, start now. I love what Alistair Begg said. If you think you're going to be something at 80 that you're not now, you'd better start playing catch up. So if you're sitting there and saying, you know what, man, when I get to be Doug's age, we all want to be like Doug, don't we? Amen. Doug's another man who prays consistently, prays all the time, prays for my family, prays for you. We all like, I want to be Doug. When I get to be 80, I want to be that guy. I want to go to church and I want to have prayer with people. Are you doing it now? Because if you're not doing it now, you're probably not doing it then. So don't think that you're automatically, magically going to appear disciplined. It doesn't work like that. Last thing today. Third thing. Choose love over life. You're saying, what kind of love are you talking about? Well, let's look at some verses real quickly. John 12:25. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Another verse in Romans is one of my favorite verses. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What do you love? If you love this world and everything in this world, you'll be living for this world. But if you love God and seek first his kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. Things that last forever. By the way, all the stuff that you can love here, moths, you know, rust, it's all destroyed. What do you love? We find out here that Daniel, he loved over life. Who did he love? He loved God and loved people. That's the center of the mark, by the way. Love God, love people. You can't go wrong with that. Be consistent by loving God with everything you've got, your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And then be consistent by loving the people made in the image of God. Love God, love people. Repeat. What that? I love that summer song. We put sunrise, sunscreen, sunset, or sunburn, repeat. I love that. Repeat. Do it over and over again, right? We as Christians ought to come up with our own song, like read the Bible, pray every day, and repeat. We do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again. That's the center of the mark, loving God and loving people with everything we've got. I close with this. Don't look back over your shoulder and pine for the good old days. Don't look forward with a sense of dread.
Don't run away and try to remove yourself and your family from a pagan culture. Remember to lift your eyes to a higher throne, a greater king, a nobler cause, and you will be equipped to serve well in every way you can and stand firm when you must. That's the life of Daniel. Daniel, at 80, went into the lion's den because in chapter 1 at 17, he resolved not to disobey and dishonor God. So are you 17 today or are you 80? Who's somewhere in between those? Hey, that's my audience. So we all have some work to do. We all can look at a passage like this and say, I need to know the God of Daniel so that I can trust that God like Daniel did. I need to have a relationship with that God so that I love him with everything I've got and I love people more than I love myself. And we need to do that. Repeat, repeat, repeat. You got a favorite song on repeat? You got that on your phone? I do sometimes. Just keeps playing that song, man. Keep playing that song. Keep. You as a Christian, you're a one song band. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love God. What am I going to do today? Love God, love people. Love God, love people. I'm in this world, but I'm a kingdom person. But I'm going to make the best of this time. And I want to do it in a way that the world doesn't despise me. They might. There are some guys who were ornery and they wanted Daniel dead. They conspired murder. I mean, you might run into those types. But we also have a lot of other types that look to Christians and say, wow, that's a person I can trust. That's a person I can go to. I can give them things to. I'll put them second in charge of the kingdom. Wow. God, make us like that. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd help us to learn from passages like this. God, we love the miracle. We love that you shut that lion's mouth. But God, we also love that Daniel lived a consistent life. Years and years and years of following you. Doing the right thing, even when no one was listening or no one was watching. Help us to be consistent. Help us to live that kind of a life. And God, if we're far from that, help us to start over today. Make a new muscle memory, practice, and discipline. I pray this in Jesus' name.